Blog Talk Radio.
This is the national premiere Soccer League show hosted by Daniel Feuerstein, the show dedicated to the NPSL club and the fans. Your host, Daniel Feuerstein.
Good evening, NPSL soccer fans, and welcome back to the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show for tonight's NPSL soccer show on these brand new expansion clubs. Joining me right now, he is the general manager and the partner of New Jersey United AC, Mr. Fatone Bauta. Fatone, welcome to the show and welcome to the National Premier Soccer League.
Hey, Daniel. Good evening. Thanks for having us. It's going to be a fun couple minutes talking with you.
It's going to be a fun time, and I know it's going to be a great time. Anyway, New Jersey United AC, another member club coming from the state of New Jersey. Where is the club located, and where will you be playing your matches?
Yeah, good question. We had to pivot in the last month or so before the season started because we had some scheduling conflicts with our previous venue, which was Holmdel High School, but now we are going to be settled at St. Joseph's High School in Metuchen, New Jersey. And honestly, we couldn't be more excited. It fits the bit. Metuchen is a nice little town, and I'm learning more and more every day about it. But it seems like a town that's hungry for soccer, Daniel. I can tell you that much.
Well, I will say this. You know, everyone always talks about the hotbed that soccer is in the state of New Jersey. Of course, we can't forget Tony Meola, John Harkes, Tab Ramos, and some of the newer blood coming through the pipeline with the New York Red Bulls of John Tolkien and Daniel Edelman. So, you know, just to see New Jersey United AC joining in with whatever clubs are there, whether it be MLS, USL, NISA, and NPSL as well, it's great to see New Jersey United AC being a part of this.
I agree with you, and I think New Jersey has a ton of untapped potential, and I was actually just talking about it with somebody earlier today that the big question for me is why New Jersey doesn't have more professional teams, more teams that the people in the state can get behind, and I think that's one thing for me that I've always wondered is, you know, I know we have the New Jersey Devils, and you know they've been a great demonstrator of what this great state is about, but I wonder why we don't have, you know, our own New Jersey soccer team or our own, you know, American football team, or, you know, I know we used to have the New Jersey Mets, but that was, I think, almost 20 years ago before they moved. But, you know, I think the state has a lot to offer, and I'm happy to say that, you know, we're going to be an ambassador of the sport of soccer. And, you know, I hope, and I know we bust our butt in our organization just to uphold the standard that, you know, the NPSL wants us to, but also just to uphold a standard of excellence with regards to soccer. So, you know, I hope we can put it all together for the NPSL, for soccer, and for the people that love soccer in this great state.
Now, obviously, you are the general manager and one of the partners in this club. Who else is with you to be a part of this club, to bring it to life, and why the National Premier Soccer League?
Yeah, so the National Premier Soccer League just seemed to have so much flexibility. It seemed to be a league that was really geared toward allowing teams to get as creative as they need to make it happen with and wherever they are, you know, geographically. And when talking with the league and getting started, and they were just so good to work with. And when I say good, I mean not just were they kind, but they were so well prepared. You know, they gave you all the documents. They laid everything out for you. You know, they even gave us, you know, these little mini classes to get on and to review and to also just keep for ourselves so we can understand better on what the league is looking for and what standards they want to uphold. But I also think they've created an environment that's competitive, but also, I should say, friendly. And, you know, where it's just we're helping each other as business partners. And when I say each other, I'm talking about everybody. in the NPSL, and they're also allowing us to compete against each other, you know, really hard, which I think is a good combination for growth in the league.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear, and of course, that's the reason why, you know, they're trying to find good new clubs to come in and bring them over to be a part of this. Now, we always talk about this. I always talk about this. Obviously, as I've said already, the pipeline in New Jersey is big. There's so many great clubs here, whether it's in the northern end of the state, the central part of the state, the southern part of the state. What is it about Metuchen that you're going to be in right now? And of course, you were supposed to be somewhere else, but what have you seen that makes you feel good about what this club can do, not just for the area of Metuchen or other places in the state of New Jersey, but you know, just to add on to being a part of this?
Yeah, good. That's a great question. And to be honest, the best way I can answer it is when we had our last two tryouts in town, you had to see the type of support we were getting from just strangers that just were driving by because they're locals in the neighborhood. And they said, hey, we saw your tents and we saw your signage that said New Jersey United, and we wanted to come by and see what was going on. And they were like, we saw you playing soccer too. And we were just like, let's see who this is and what they're about. And I'm happy to say, I would like to think we gained those individuals as fans, and they're right in town. So, and it seems like Metuchen is this town that's, I don't want to say on the come up, but it's like it's becoming more and more popular. I heard recently it was one of the best towns in New Jersey to live in, I want to say in 2023 or 2022. And that was pretty cool to hear. And with that said, usually when towns gain popularity like that, they gain more traction. And on top of that, the thing that I've seen when driving through the neighborhood, headed to practice, or let's say any event we have at St. Joe's High School, I've just seen a lot of soccer being played, you know. RJ Allen, who's part of our he's part of our club as a coach, or I should say director of player relations, he is in town. He has a facility in town called AP2T, and, you know, that's strictly soccer. And, you know, so that's one of the things where it's like, you know, you got RJ Allen in there with his company, his brand. They have their own soccer complex, indoor facility, and it's just strictly soccer. I think that shows a lot. There's not many towns in New Jersey that have, you know, a facility designated to just soccer and have a guy like RJ Allen, you know, heading those efforts, you know. So I think, like I said, with RJ Allen, just watching all the soccer that's played around the areas and in the parks, and then when we were just doing our tryouts and just having our team practices, how many people would just show up and just walk around the track and watch us practice. And, you know, we're obviously making friends with those people because we want them to be part of us. You know, we are New Jersey United. We are New Jersey's own. We want to be New Jersey's own. We want to bring something to the state that people can be part of and people can be proud of to say that they've, you know, helped support us along the way.
Absolutely. Of course, one of those things that is big is hopefully in this season, I don't know if you'll do it this year, but it's an expansion team, but there's been history of certain expansion clubs, whatever league they're in, that they do qualify for the playoffs and do win a championship. But if you do qualify for the playoffs, there's an opportunity to qualify and be a representative of this league in the 2025 U.S. Open Cup. Is that something that you and your ownership group wants to get a part of for 2025 and beyond?
Of course. I don't think us as an organization and an ownership group would have jumped into this if we were aiming low. You know, I've never shied away from big goals and dreams and aspirations myself. And, you know, tell you one thing, the club I'm going to be a part of is not going to shy away from dreaming big and going big and, you know, doing everything we can to align ourselves and our organization and our values and culture to getting to those heights. But what I will say is, for year one, I think we have to focus just on our organization, and we really have to take it a day at a time. The one thing I know that our entire organization and partners discussed was, for the first year, really, and beyond, we have to make sure that operation is geared toward a player experience, because if your players aren't happy and they're not getting, you know, the most out of it, then it's going to be very tough to pull a team culture together. And then after that, beyond is a fan's experience. And first thing I did say is player experience. And it's just like, we got to take care of them. And we got to make sure that they understand that we don't really care at first how much they can do for us. We want them to see how much we care about them as people. And then we want them to understand that, you know, this is something that we want to be here for a long time. It's a very long term. And we want to develop those relationships and make them understand that we're people that want to create a culture of success and a healthy culture and a culture that, you know, supplements their efforts into making sure that they feel like they have what they need to go succeed on the field. And I think that's what our biggest focus was for year one. But to go back to what you're saying, that's not taken away from me saying, like, yeah, hell yeah, we want to be competitive, Daniel. We want to be the most competitive team in this league. And we want to breed an environment and an atmosphere and a culture of competitiveness. And, you know, we want guys out there that are, you know, I like to call them just hunters. They get up and they go hunting every day, you know, and as soccer players, you know, we want to have individuals that embody those values and those characteristics. But it all starts with, you know, us as an organization first, and that goes from ownership to, you know, administration to management to coaches to players. And, you know, it's got to start at the top and trickle down. So, you know, we got to make sure that our words and our actions are meeting, you know, precisely, and, you know, they can't be off, not even a little bit, because then that's when your culture really can falter. But we want to make sure we set a standard of excellence. We want to live up to that by what we do and how we treat our players and how we treat everybody within our organization. But to answer your question, and I know it's very long-winded, we're here to compete. We're here to make an impact right away, and I'm not letting anybody give an excuse about it's your first year. I'm not taking it. Nobody in our organization is going to take it. We're here. We were lucky enough to get the opportunity to play in the MPSL, and we're going to show up just like every other MPSL team, and we're going to put our most competitive version on when it's time to play. And when it comes to working with teams and hosting them and them hosting us, we're going to make sure we're as professional as the next team. And the good news is, in our conference, I think we have some of the best, and so I'm happy to say that we're in the North Atlantic and we get to play teams like Hartford City, the New York Shockers, and Kingston Stockade, and the rest of them, because I know they've done a great job thus far.
And let's not forget Syracuse FC and Vallejo FC as well.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
You're the southern end of it. You got to go upstate New York and western New York, just, and including Connecticut, just to play these teams, and it's going to be without a doubt, this is going to be a very, very difficult challenge for your club starting off. But let's see what you guys can do moving forward. And I guess I can ask you this: what would you like to see in this first year? I mean, obviously, there's goals. Like we've already talked about, you want to be competitive, obviously, and you also hope you want to make the playoffs. But what are the reality of goals for this opening season for New Jersey United AC?
To have a winning season and to make it to the playoffs year one, and to let everybody feel that we're here and we're not going anywhere. That's our goal.
All right. All right. That sounds awesome. I cannot wait to see what you guys will do this year. It should be a fun season for New Jersey United AC. Fatone, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck with your inaugural year in the NPSL, and hopefully you'll be at the end smelling like a rose.
Daniel, I appreciate the time, and I'm hoping that by the end of the year you'll be interviewing us again and talking to us about how well we've done, God willing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't wait as well. Thank you once again.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Be well.
Thank you very much. And that was Mr. Fatone Bauta, the general manager and partner of New Jersey United AC, as they get ready to start their season in the NPSL Soccer League. I cannot wait to see them go forward. But also now, let's move on to my next guests. Actually, I know I only said one person. There's only so much I can do with X unless I pay for it, which, of course, I'll be probably down the road. But until then, I just stick with the normal 180. But other than that, I want to introduce to you my next guests. This is the Chief Operating Officer, Carmine Provenzano, and the head coach, Lucio Iannero. And they are part of Niagara 1812. Carmine, Lucio, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me tonight, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
Yes, doing great also. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me tonight. Carmine, let's go to you first. I'm assuming you are in the Niagara Falls area in either the New York State part or the Canadian part. Which part are you in?
You got it. We're in the Niagara region. We're on the Canadian side, but we are playing out of Buffalo, New York, wonderful Western New York. We love it there.
And Lucio, obviously, as the head coach of this club, what does it mean to you to be a part of this situation, being a part of the NPSL and, of course, the rich history of this league, developing all these great players, whether it be American or Canadian?
Well, I've lived in the Niagara region my entire life, basically, and I've always played on the Canadian side, other than just playing some tournaments south of the border. And never realizing the quality of soccer that was just across the border, you know, 20 minutes away from us. But we are really excited to embark on this new venture here and show Western New York what Canadian soccer is all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, Carmine, if I can just go back to you, and of course I'll be alternating questions, gentlemen. Carmine, sure. You know, what was the reason to start this club, not just to be a Canadian club, but also be playing on the American's border of the river and the region? As I've been to Niagara Falls myself, it's absolutely gorgeous over there, especially by the falls. Some great things to do over there, sightseeing and a lot of activities. You know, why now? Why this club now?
Well, we were part of another club that I started from the beginning on the Canadian side, and things didn't work out for us in the visionary sense of things. And, you know, I had a lot of players and coaches approach me saying, what's next, Carm? Let's do something. So we started looking at different options, and we felt the NPSL was a great option for us. And, you know, the Buffalo, Western New York area did not have a team. So that's kind of the birth of Niagara 1812.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear that. And if I can ask you, Lucio, as the head coach of this club, what type of style are you looking to bring to this club, whether it's attacking, defending, counterattacking, a press? What do you think, you know, Niagara 1812 will implement to tell the opposition, you're going to have a tough time facing us?
Oh, yeah. We're not really sure what to expect. We know that from previous experience in tournaments that the American game is fast, physical, technical. So we need to start there and match that at least. But we're looking at a free-flowing game, obviously defensive style, but a free-flowing attacking game, looking to, you know, have more fans in the stands than in the past, and just have an exciting brand of soccer so people want to fill the stands.
And Carmine, if I can ask you this, obviously, like you said, you know, you guys are coming from the Canadian side of the falls, but, you know, what has been the positives that you're bringing this club to life, coming either from the Canadian side of point, the Canadian side or the U.S. side, when you have a plethora of great, talented players on both sides of the river? Is that was something important to get this club going once again?
Yeah, you know, we think we're bringing an opportunity to players that may want to excel or work hard to get to that next level. Of course, no promises, but we're giving them that platform and that level playing field to try to compete for those positions above our league. And we know there's opportunity, and our players are seeing that, and we're getting a lot of traffic. A lot of people want to come and play for us and have a chance to extend their careers or move their careers up to the next level. So we think that's a very important part of what we're doing.
And Lucio, obviously, you probably have already had tryouts ready to go, seeing players that you feel that can implement and be a part of what you want in this club. How many players have you seen, whether they're Canadian or American, that have come to you and said, we're ready to go and we want to be a part of this?
Well, that is the key. That's the players match the philosophy of the program, and it's difficult finding players to match exactly, but, you know, we are going to work with the players that we have, and we do have a great core of players that do match our philosophy, and we're looking forward to continuing to work with them and build on what we started here.
Absolutely. And if I can ask you this as well, Carmine, obviously with the Canadian player improving, I mean, I don't have to tell you about Alphonso Davies. You know, Lucio knows, I know, one of the best attacking players, one of the best players in the CONCACAF region, and of course, coming from Canada, what he went through to go from Vancouver, now over at Bayern Munich. Is that the goal also as well, to hopefully help the Canadian men's national team to find the next Alphonso Davies, or at least the next best Canadian player?
You know, we can only hope. I mean, the goal is to get the talent at Niagara. And if they're Canadian or American, we feel like we've got double the talent pool now. When we step over the border, all of a sudden we've got, you know, 2 million, you know, not 2 million, but, 200,000 people to look at. And it just helps us in the long run. But to develop a player of that caliber, we can only hope. We can only hope. But, we'll keep our fingers crossed in the next few years and see what happens.
Absolutely. Let's see if I can ask you this. What impresses you about, of course, being in the Niagara area for both sides, that the level of support and fandom of this game really invigorates you, that this was the right thing by yourself and Carmine to do, to bring a club within this region? We could always talk about Toronto. We could always talk about Montreal. We could talk about the big Canadian cities now, of course, with the Canadian Premier League, and of course, what's been going on in USL League 2 in the amateur teams in Western New York. You know, what does that mean for you?
Well, we know that there are existing clubs in Western New York, and in Canada, there are several leagues that are touted as semi-pro leagues and a direct pathway to trying to become part of the national program. And Carmine just felt that this was, you know, almost an untapped market there. We just felt that we can really tap into something big and grow this program to something that's outstanding, that people from not just Canada but the U.S. will want to be part of.
No, absolutely, and why not? We like to make sure that all players within this region get that same opportunity, just like any other professional or amateur side does, up and down the pyramid, or at least whether it's American or Canadian soccer. Carmine, now, if I can ask you this, and I'm not here to rush you, I'm not here to give you or ask for an ultimatum or anything like that, but obviously, if Niagara 1812 does well with the men's game, obviously, is there a goal one day down the road to build your own soccer stadium for Niagara 1812?
You know, the ultimate goal is, and we do have a long-term plan, that we actually can do that, and we hope it does grow that large. And if it does, we'd be happy to do that. I mean, it's funny because I work in the construction industry on the U.S. side, so it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. We would definitely be we're definitely have our long-term goals set, and building a stadium maybe not be on the top of the list, but it's definitely could be something that works down the road.
So what you're saying is the plans are already in the vault, aren't they? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
They are. We always think big here. We always do. That's what Niagara 1812 is about.
Absolutely. Lucio, I don't know if what the plans are for the club when you start in the National Premier Soccer League, obviously a regular season, and hopefully make the playoffs, but will this club qualify for the Canadian Championship, or would this be an Open Cup run, depending on, I guess, you recognize yourselves as a Canadian club or an American club?
Right. We are a Canadian club playing in the U.S., so I don't think we are actually allowed to cross over and play on the Canadian side for the Canadian Cup. So, yeah, it'll be a USA Cup run, and we're striving for the top. That's our goal, is to make the playoffs, try and get to national championships, and win a trophy.
And Carmine, what would that mean to you, you know, as an expansion team to maybe hopefully you do make the playoffs this year, because obviously once you make the playoffs, then you got to reach a certain level to qualify for the Open Cup. So, you know, what would that be like for yourself and, you know, your ownership group of what's going to happen here?
I think that would be just an unbelievable situation. And, you know, we think big, but at the same time, we're realistic about the league and the toughness of the league and competitiveness of the division. And not to mention another team, but Steel City was in the USA Cup and they happen to be in our division. So that's the target. They put a target on their back, and we hope to compete well against them and see how we do.
Absolutely. And Lucio, I have to say this, you know, you got yourself a hell of a conference to play in the Great Lakes. Obviously, you'll be taking on Rochester's Flower City Union, not far away. But you'll also be taking on the Michigan Rangers, Erie Commodores, Cleveland SC, Akron City FC, Southern Indiana Guardians, and as Carmine just said, Steel City. Are you salivating over these opponents? You ready to jump into the water and hopefully take on the Sharks?
There's a high level of excitement on my end, that's for sure. And again, we're just looking forward to each game, and each opponent will bring their own unique little style of play and little intricacies that us as a coaching staff need to figure out and how to surpass what they're doing. And yeah, we're excited. Every game is going to be a big game. There's only 10 games and we can't drop points. So every game is going to be a battle.
Yep, it definitely will be. It's going to be a big, big battle. And trust me, you're going to face some pretty stiff competition. All these conferences are basically knock them out, drag them out fights all over the pitch for 90 minutes or more. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And Carmine, you know, what is it about the Niagara area? For those of, like, I know, but for those that have never been to the Niagara Falls area, just tell them what it's like to be over there.
Wow. It's, you know what, we take it for granted. We really do living here. Like I see the falls every day. You know, you drive by, you see it, it's just, ah. But as a person that visits here, it's fabulous. It's something that, you know, there's no words for it, really. It's just a beauty. And the things to do in the city, it's, you know, especially on, and, you know, we know the Canadian side more than the American side, but there's lots to do on the Canadian side, and it's something. It's breathless. It's there's no words for it. It's just a beautiful sight.
Yes, it really is. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, if you have anyone who wants to take a road trip up to Niagara Falls, whether it's for soccer or for sightseeing, please do so. It is an absolutely beautiful area, both sides of the Niagara Falls and the river area. Lucio, as a coach, obviously, you know, you have to be fair to your players, and you also have to be stern whenever you can. But will there be a barrel involved?
Will there be a barrel involved going over the fall?
If,
only for the players
the
who don't
joke.
Listen. Only for the players that don't listen. Yeah, no, it's a fine line between discipline. Yes, that's for sure. You know, I'm a teacher by nature and retired high school teacher, so it's about teaching the game. And some kids get it quicker than others. And those that don't, you know, they're not sitting on the bench to be a punishment, but we're going to field our strongest 11 on the pitch as starters and go from there. And everyone knows their role and have to understand that.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do out there in the 2024 season. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Operating Officer is Carmine Provenzano, and the Head Coach is Lucio Iannero. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck this year in the 2024 season of the National Premier Soccer League.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Niagara 1812 as they get ready for their inaugural season in the National Premier Soccer League. We're going to keep the guests going. My next guest right now is the Vice President of Operations of Hickory FC, Mr. Jonathan Rink, joins me right now. Jonathan, good evening, and how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. I greatly appreciate you coming on as well. Jonathan, for those of us not familiar with your club and the location, where is Hickory FC located and where will you be playing your matches?
Yeah, so Hickory is located in western North Carolina. We're about an hour northwest of Charlotte, so that's the easiest geographic location that most people are familiar with. So we're over in western North Carolina. We play all of our matches at Lenoir Ryan University at their football stadium in Moret Stadium. We have a capacity of about 7,500. So hoping at some point to max that out and do a sellout at some point.
Absolutely. If I can ask you this, as you said, you're west of Charlotte, but you're in the western end of the state, because we always talk about either the eastern end of the state or some of these clubs that are located in the Charlotte area. What is it about western North Carolina that is a hotbed of soccer talent?
Yes. I mean, just like you said, I mean, it takes a lot of people by surprise. So for instance, you know, there's us, there's Hickory FC, and then only 50 miles west of us, there's Appalachian FC. So who's getting ready to start, who's just started their fourth year. We just had a match against them, on Tuesday, a friendly against them, excellent atmosphere. But Western North Carolina, for people that are not familiar with it, it takes a lot of people by surprise, the amount of talent and the amount of interest, in soccer. So a couple of my friends, I've been working in NPSL for the last few years. When I took a position in NPSL, people were kind of surprised to find out that there was such a large interest in Western North Carolina. But, you know, it keeps growing and growing. And with everything that's coming to the state, especially with the World Cup here in a couple of years, the excitement and the interest in the sport just keeps growing and growing in this part of the state.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear, and it's really great to see more clubs coming in, especially in the North Carolina area. We always talk about Duke. We always talk about the Tar Heels of UNC and some of these other schools like, you know, North Carolina State as well, you know, trying to develop some of these players from the college program into the professional parts. How many students or how many players are going to have coming from the universities in North Carolina, or are you also going to take any from outside the state?
Yeah, so we have individuals that are from universities all across North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and so a few from a little bit further away. But we have quite a bit of talent from the North Carolina universities. So we have been very privileged there, being able to kind of own this part of the state and get a lot of our recruits and a lot of talent from individuals that have decided to come to Western North Carolina and North Carolina General to play. And continue their careers. And so we've been very fortunate in the fact that we've had our coach and the rest of the coaching staff has strong ties to a lot of universities and colleges throughout the state. And so we've been able to recruit very heavily and put, you know, a great squad together for year one.
Absolutely fantastic to hear about that. So if I can ask you, as you said, you know, with you're the vice president of operations, who is the owner of the club, and, you know, what was the reason for him to create Hickory FC?
Sure. So there's actually five owners of Hickory FC, Tom Dealey, Eric Levin, Dylan Smith, William Pleasant, and Brock Long are five owners. So the idea for Hickory FC actually came about probably about a year and a half ago. So as I mentioned earlier, I actually been working in NPSL for the last 3 years with Appalachian FC. I was with them from the beginning, running their operations during the summer, during their games. Wasn't full-time, and then I just happened to meet Tom Dealey, and we were talking about Appalachian FC. He played collegiate soccer here in North Carolina. He always wanted the opportunity to, you know, own a club and bring a club to Hickory. And so once we started talking, he asked us, you know, if I thought Hickory could sustain a club. And I was like, yeah, I think this untapped area that's just waiting to explode as far as, like, you know, fan engagement and wanting this type of team in the area. About a year and a half ago, we had that conversation. And, you know, he put a terrific ownership group together. Wonderful group of guys, very involved, And, you know, here we are. And so now I'm on full time with Hickory FC and enjoying every minute of it.
So who is your head coach? And if I can ask you this, is there a certain style that your owners want this club to play, or they're just letting the head coach that they pick decide how their player, how your players are going to perform out there?
Sure. So our head coach is Carlos Rubio. He is the head coach at Lenora Ryan University, where we actually play. Comes from a great lineage of coaches. So our ownership is hands-off in how we play. We have full confidence and trust in Carlos and the direction that he'll lead the team and the organization as a whole. And so we stay hands-off. So, you know, we always take the approach, you know, hire someone that's better than you, you know, in an area. So we understand that Carlos knows the game much better than any of us do. And so obviously we want him to take the reins and this be his team. So he calls the shots. He determines the type of play, and he brings in the players, and, you know, we are there to support him the best way we can.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen there this season for Hickory FC. It should be a lot of fun. I can ask you this, you know, you're going to be playing, as you said, you know this conference very well, the Southeast Conference. You came from Appalachian FC, of course, with 865 Alliance, Apotheos FC, Charlottetown Hops, Greenville United, your other fellow expansion clubs, and Bristol Rhythm AFC and Port City FC. You know, with the addition of your club and the other two clubs that are coming in with this expansion season, how much more difficult will the Southeast Conference be in your estimation?
Oh, it's going to be exponentially more difficult. So most people are aware, Apotheos, you know, they're the national runner-ups from last year. We were fortunate enough to play them last Saturday at home, come out with the win. It was a heck of an inaugural game, you know, especially at home, and to play such a quality opponent and to come out with a victory is a sensational night for us. Appalachian FC, you know, absolutely incredible talent. This is their fourth year. They put together a tremendous squad. Charlottetown, you know, they came on the scene last year, really came on strong towards the end of the season, put together a solid first season. Always going to be competitive. You know, and like you said, Bristol coming in, you know, this year for their inaugural season. Can't wait to see what they do. And then Port City, Greenville, Alliance, all quality clubs. It's going to be a very competitive conference. You know, and I think whoever comes out of this conference as the conference champion, you know, I definitely think they're going to make a run at that national championship.
My only hope is Squatch didn't trip you up when you came back to play that friendly against them.
Oh, no. It was an amazing homecoming. So it was wonderful to see all those people that I've worked with and, you know, had formed relationships with over the last 3 years. I wish that club nothing but success, except when they play Hickory FC. So I hope they have a tremendous season.
But all I'm saying is, you know how those mascots can be, you know, when they see an old friend.
Oh, certainly. And he does have a few tricks up his sleeve. That is certain.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's the one thing you got to watch out for, those dirty little tricks. But that's okay. We all know you guys are all right with each other, except when you're playing on the field for 90 minutes. We all know that. The competitive juices are flowing. What does it mean for this club when the opportunity does come, if you do make the playoffs and get towards a certain goal to hopefully qualify for the U.S. Open Cup? What does that mean for you and for your ownership group if it does happen?
I mean, that would be an amazing accomplishment for year one. You know, I mean, right now, I mean, those are definitely long-term goals and things that we want to accomplish. You know, obviously we want to come in, win the conference, go on, you know, make a deep run, compete for a national championship, you know, go to the Open Cup. I think that's the goal of every NPSL team, certainly. But, you know, right now, our head coach, Carlos, our assistant coach, Jorge, and the rest of our coaching staff, you know, it's next game. That's what we're focusing on. So, yes, big picture, definitely. Would love to accomplish all those goals that I just mentioned. But we have a very competitive game against Greenville coming up tomorrow. And so that's what we're staying focused on. So just one foot in front of the other, one game to the next is what we're focused on.
Absolutely. So if I can ask you this, which opponent would be the closest to you right now in your conference? Obviously, Charlotte's not far away. Asheville's not far away, but I don't know if they have a club over there. But, you know, which opponent would be the closest to you right now to be considered a derby?
So it's Charlotte and App FC. So both of those clubs are about 50 miles from Hickory, maybe a little bit more than that to Charlotte, but not much. So we're actually doing an in-season cup between the three teams called the Moonshine Cup. So we're each playing each other twice, home and away. At the end of the series, we'll accumulate the points and see who takes the Moonshine Cup. But definitely,
how dare you?
App, yeah. App and Charlottetown, those are our two.
Moonshine Cup, how dare you? Come on now. You know that stuff's illegal.
Well, we're in North Carolina, so it is part of our
history.
No,
I'm kidding. No, I understand. I know. I'm just kidding around, obviously. But, you know, I never touched the stuff myself. But other than that, but we're just having some fun here. That's all.
Oh, of course.
So once again, if I asked you before, I apologize. But let me just ask again: where will you be playing your matches for the home games?
So we'll be playing at Lenoir Ryan University's football stadium, Moret Stadium. So that is our home base, and so we've been fortunate enough to, like I said, start our season off right and start it there last Saturday in front of a good crowd. A little bit of inclement weather, but we had a great fan base come out and support us.
Absolutely. And once again, these fans, you know, I've come to the realization that no matter where this game is played, it's so popular and everyone wants to be a part of it. It's really community driven. It's a fun time to have all these people come into your games, no matter, you know, what level you're at. Is there going to be somewhere down the road? I'm not trying to pressure you or anything like that, but will there be a time somewhere down the road, if it does come up, that this club will create their own stadium?
If the opportunity arose, I mean, maybe potentially down the road. I mean, that would be if we got to the point where we could sustain something like that. I mean, I think ownership would definitely – that would be something they would definitely entertain, you know, and I think – any club in the NPSL, if they got that level of support behind them, they would want to explore that opportunity as well. So certainly, you know, if that ever became an opportunity from the community support that we receive, we have that type of fan engagement, you know, yeah, I mean, I think that would definitely be something we would explore down the road if the opportunity ever presented itself. But right now, you know, that's not something we're looking into. You know, we enjoy playing where we are. Absolutely love it. Love the atmosphere. We're very fortunate with the facilities that we're able to utilize from Lenoir Ryan. So we greatly appreciate, you know, their partnership and everything they've done for us. But like I said, you know, if that opportunity ever arose down the road, I'm sure we'd take the opportunity to explore it.
Absolutely, and hopefully somewhere down the line, you know, like I said, not the immediate future, but hopefully that will be in the back burner, and hopefully will happen for you guys, and we'll see what happens going on over there. You know, once again, for Hickory FC, you know, how proud are you? You know, you were part of Appalachian FC, now you're doing Hickory FC. What does it mean for you personally to see not only the area that you're in, and even in the state of North Carolina, how the game of soccer has grown into, you know, all these teams? We all know Charlotte FC's in MLS, Charlotte Independence in the USL Championship, and all these other little minor clubs, you know, hanging around, in the lower levels. You know, to be in the game still for yourself, what does that mean for you, Jonathan?
I mean, honestly, one of the owners after our inaugural game last Saturday, you know, we were breaking down and he came up to me and he's like, "Hey, take a minute, look around, take it all in." You know, I was like, and it was an emotional moment, honestly, because like you said, I mean, I was the beginning for Appalachian FC, got to help build that and those that ownership group and fan base will continue to grow it and take it to new heights. That's definitely a special place, but there's something special brewing here in Hickory. Whenever this club was announced, the response from the community was unbelievable. And so the number of people that have approached myself, approached ownership, wanting to be involved in some way, shape, or form, you know, whether that's sponsorships, coming to games,
mm-hmm.
promoting our team, having our team out at their events, it's been honestly not overwhelming because
right.
that sounds negative, but it's been an unbelievable reception from our community. And so, I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, we had our first game last Saturday. You know, it was pouring
yep.
down rain.
Yep.
I mean, we had almost 2,000 fans come out to our inaugural game. We had another 1,000 people streaming it on our YouTube channel.
Right.
So, I mean, that right there, I mean, just goes to show the level of interest and the level of engagement from game one, you know, and I cannot wait to see where this thing goes. I think there's
mm-hmm.
something very, very special that's getting ready to take off here in Hickory FC.
All right. Well, Jonathan, let me just say thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck this year, and enjoy your time back in the NPSL.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Rink from Hickory FC. My next guest right now, joining me from Port City FC, the president of the club himself, Mr. Joseph Lipoff is here. Joseph, welcome to the show, and how are you, sir?
Good. Just living a dream one day at a time. You know, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and it's a blessing and sometimes a curse at the same time, but I believe that it helps a lot of people and does a lot of good for multiple communities.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I'm very glad to hear that. Absolutely. Very glad to hear that. So if I can ask you about the club, as you are the president of the club, who is the ownership group and why Port City FC, and where is the club located?
Club is located in Wilmington, North Carolina. The ownership group, it's a nonprofit board of directors and board of advisors. Board of advisors are named of soccer people that we've recruited for basic their skills within the community. And then we have staff members that fill out our teams from marketing to finance to analytics to operations to a business admin. And our ownership / executive board members are people that have extreme soccer knowledge who have decided that they want to invest in their community. And right now we have Judd Watkins. He's the right owner of Rights for Brewery. We have Herb Goodfellow. We have Haven Lewis. She's been in the soccer community and she lived here her whole life. And we also have Ian Dockery, who's an Asheville native, who used to play. He played a season in Asheville City, and now he's a regional referee. And he's been in Wilmington for 4 to 5 years and really wanted to bring something back to the community.
Now, for those of us that are not familiar with Wilmington, North Carolina, what part of the state is it located in?
Southeast Wilmington. The reason for Port City FC, the name, is that Wilmington has a lot of ports. One of the most historical things about Wilmington was during the war, I can't remember if it was World War I or II, they used the ports for import and exports. And especially for oil and gas, it's huge import-export business. And even to this day, the ports are one of the most profitable businesses in Wilmington. And the biggest thing about our logo, our iconic logo, is that seagulls are coming from the background because it's a beach with the sunset. But there's this bridge, which is a historical bridge, been a community for years, that connects the Leland to Myrtle Beach with downtown Wilmington to Wrightsville. And it's a big signal community because that go to the ports, all the boats would go underneath the bridge.
That's absolutely beautiful. It sounds like a very nice tourist section and historical area, which I love American history myself. So hopefully I'll come down there and check it out myself to see the port city. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I know. And what we're trying to do is bring professional soccer back in a way in Wilmington. The Hammerheads did a great job back in the mid-90s to 2015. But it's been missing for a while, and they have a professional soccer stadium. They have UNCW. Aiden Haney does a great job with UNCW. We have Cape Fear Community College. We have all the high school and club teams. And the Hammerheads have their youth ECNL. We have PISA, UFA, Superb. And with how big the soccer community is, they have been really supportive. For the first three years, the group of board members and some people came to me asked because I had experience with running a team in Kansas, if they could do it here. And we started off the UPSL team. And I remember in his first game we did charity night with one of our board members out at Reach Cape Fear. In our first game ever, I remember it wasn't even against a high-quality team, but that game we had 750 people out for a exhibition UPSL game.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
And we had, in our biggest attendance, had been around 1,000 people.
That is unbelievable. You know, I remember, like you said, the Hammerheads. Obviously, they've been a great club in the past. It's been awesome to see professional soccer returning to the Wilmington, North Carolina area. And, you know, I wish all you over there great luck. And, of course, you know, what Wilmington Hammerheads have done in the past, of course, is qualify for the Open Cup. Even though it's the inaugural season in the NPSL, and hopefully if you do make the playoffs and get to a certain level in the playoffs, you'll have one of those qualification spots. Is that the hope from the ownership group as well as everyone involved with the club hoping to get to the Open Cup for 2025?
Yes, that is a big goal, but I think for our first year, we are just trying to show that we can be a not just financially successful team, but also be a successful team within the community. We want the community to even embrace it even more than past seasons. And for that reason, we've had sponsors double their sponsorship to bring on a women's team. And this will be the first time Wilmington has ever had any kind of professional women's team ever. And this will be the first women's sport at a semi-pro level that's ever been in the town of Wilmington.
That's
so
unbelievable. That's fantastic.
And we're trying to see where it goes. Like, our recruiting class, I will give across the board for the guys and the girls team, I'll give it to Nate Torbett. I'll give it to our coaches on the guys' side, our GM, as well as on the girls' side, give it to Chad Metcalf, Hayden Lewis, and Jen Lubin. They've done a fantastic job bringing in quality recruits this year. Like, I've been thoroughly impressed with the people they've been bringing in, especially the fact that, you know, Wilmington is such a small town due to the successfulness of the youth clubs with the Hammerheads, PISA, and UFA. And Superb, we've been lucky enough, even though it's a small town, we don't have to outsource players. We get to take the local talent and put it on showcase on national level.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love to hear that. I love seeing that happen. Talk about the Southeast Conference. Just spoke with one of your conference rivals in Hickory FC. You'll be also facing 865 Alliance, Apotheos FC, Appalachian FC, the Bristol Rhythm AFC, Charlottetown Hops, and Greenville United. How difficult is going to be that plate? And obviously, you know, I know you guys are ready for the challenge, but for those of that are not aware of your club, and of course, to all of your supporters in Wilmington, North Carolina, how itching are you to get ready to face these opponents?
I'll be frank. I don't know how highly people think of us, But I really do think people will be surprised by the caliber of the guys we have. And not just the caliber, but we have a bunch of hungry, young players. They may not be seasoned vets, but they're talented, they're hungry, and they're ready to go. They'll work like dogs 24/7. And honestly, they're the kids that were around when the Hammerheads were around, when they were 8, 9, 7. The group we have now was back in, I think mid-2000s on that, so they saw the Hammerheads, and they're hungry to put that legacy back into Wilmington. And I think that's the most special part is these kids were there when the Hammerheads were here, and now they want to bring back that success. So I think not just the talent level and the hungriness and how young they are in it, but how badly they want to bring it back.
Absolutely, and I agree 100% with them. The Hammerheads were such a great club back in the day. It is a shame that they were gone, but hopefully Port City will be able to take over the popularity of the professional soccer in the Wilmington, North Carolina area. Who is your head coach, and what will he do again? If I did ask you that question, I apologize, but style?
Nate Torbett. Nate, I'm not going to say too much about his tactics. Nate, his coaching philosophy is he's all about game IQ and possession, working the ball, playing smart, but also working like dogs if we lose it. And I think what you'll see a lot this season is we're going to be really, really good in how we possess the ball.
Fantastic to hear. Do you talk to the people in Wilmington? You know, do you walk around the downtown area? You know, do they know you? Or they know the ownership group? Do they talk to you? They tell you we're excited about this.
Yep.
We can't wait to be a part of this.
100%. We are very involved in the local community. Even the brewery made us our own beer that just got released yesterday. We also just did a thing with WOMA, which is the Women's Net Magazine. They helped their co-title sponsoring with the AC company, and we did a woman's marathon dash the other day. And then we're also doing stuff with nonprofits this year. We're giving away percentage of ticket sales. Our first game percentage ticket sales is going to go to the Veterans Society to help veterans when they get out and discharged. And then we're going to be working with Wagon Tails. Wagon Tails is an animal rescue that they're a non-kill animal shelter, and people volunteered to foster animals so they can live in a house so no one adopts them. They get to live out their lives there. Then we have Paws for People. They help train service dogs for free. Then we also got Outreach of K Fear, which is our inner city youth club, coached by Kim Krabs, who's the first African American to make the U.S. national team. She's been doing a phenomenal job servicing kids that can't afford club soccer. And then we also got Coastal Horizons. They are a domestic violence organization helping with people that have been abused. So we are really excited with the community outreach we got going on at games. We're going to be doing an hour before the game for each game for men and women. We're going to be doing a youth clinics that are going to be sponsored by Outreach of Cape Fear and PISA, which we ran by Kim Krabs and Matt Sadler.
That is fantastic to hear, to have all those people being a part of this club at Port City. All I can say is great job, Joseph.
One thing I forgot to add, we have 34 community sponsors
back
the club.
Already, that is amazing. All I can say, Joseph, is that that's a great job by you and by the club to get this season rolling and ready to go. Joseph, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate you coming on to talk about Port City FC. Good luck with your season, and good luck as well being in Wilmington, North Carolina. It should be a blast.
Yeah, no, come on out. Also, if you're at Ratzel Brewery, come get a Sully the Goalie beer. It's an IPA. You only need a couple, but come get a six-pack.
Absolutely. So, thank you once again, Joseph. I appreciate you, and have a good night.
You too.
All right. Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Joseph Lipoff. He is the president of Port City FC as we get ready to move on here with the National Premier Soccer League shows with the expansion clubs. My next guest, he is the head coach and the co-owner of Siouxland United FC. You know what I always say? If you're going to do it right, you got to do it yourself. Mr. Robbie Carroll joining me right now to talk about the club. Robbie, good evening, and how are you, sir?
Good evening. I'm good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Siouxland United FC, please inform the audience where the club is located and what ground will you be playing at?
Yeah, so the club is located in the tri-state area of the Northwest Iowa, so that's the South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, in Sioux City. We'll be playing at the Bishop Heelan Memorial Stadium.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, we always talk about the hotbeds of Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Florida, North Carolina, California, all over this great country, but even in Texas. But your area that, you know, not many people are familiar with, as you said, the Iowa and the other states, I believe you said South Dakota as well. We're not familiar so much with South Dakota and Iowa. You know, what have you seen with all the talented players in those representative states that this club is going to represent that made you want to be a part of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, to be fair, soccer is growing so fast in our community. You know, down in South Sioux City, Nebraska, so we've got three Sioux cities in the area, the South Sioux City in Nebraska, North Sioux City in South Dakota, and then Sioux City in Iowa. In South Sioux City, you know, their boys' high school team were undefeated until yesterday. They got popped on penalties. But, you know, there's a lot of talent here, but there was nowhere else for them to go if they weren't quite ready for college or anything like that. So we wanted to give an opportunity to guys, worst-case scenario, to train with, you know, elite collegiate athletes. So then maybe next year they can jump onto a college team, and then 5 years down the line they're still playing for us. It's like not a pathway to pro per se, but it's a pathway to play at the highest level.
Absolutely, and that's great to see, and that's great to hear. So, you are co-owner, and who is the other owner that has joined you in this venture for this club?
So there's four of us. There's Jesse Castillo. He's basically the local Mr. Soccer. Obviously, I'm a bit of a transplant. And then we have this is a Northwest Iowa accent, believe it or not. No, I'm just kidding. And then you've got Mike Wells Jr. Of the Wells family, and then our newest addition, Mr. Adam Dean.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, you come from across the pond. Where are you originally from, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm from Wakefield, West Yorkshire. So not really known for soccer.
And what's the club over there that plays there? What division?
Well, the closest club to Wakefield is probably Leeds United. But my family are Mancunians, so we're the red side of Manchester, which is pretty much all of it. But we suck anyway, but it's okay. maybe we'll have a resurgence in 20 years. And then back in the day when I played, I was a goalkeeper, which is why a lot of people tell me I've got a face for radio nowadays.
They can't say that. Come on.
Hey, just all the broken noses, broken cheekbone, it just means I was doing my job.
Absolutely. You're talking to a fellow Man United supporter as well, so don't worry. We are both in the same boat. It's been it's been very rough. Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, here's the funny thing. Out of all those great clubs or those great years under Sir Alex Ferguson, it could I have the old Sharp, old Trafford shirt from Umbro, and I could have been Beckham, it could have been Giggs, it could have been Robbie Keane, but it's not. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on my back.
Hey, I've got one for you. My son is called Ole Gunnar.
There you go. Look at this.
And
are you saying Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer
actually
sent
fake?
Us a video?
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's
yep.
awesome. So. That's fantastic. Let's get back to the questionnaire, though. So who is going to be your head coach for this club, and what's the style that you would like to play, or what do you think the style is your coach is going to play?
Yeah, so luckily we did look around for coaches, but obviously as a start-up, the other owners looked at my experience and said, you know what, why don't you steer the ship and see how far and how long we can do that for. And obviously we're all entrepreneurs and business owners, so we're all quite busy. But I have quite an extensive coaching background, so they made me the main man, which I'm, I don't know whether I'm super excited about or slightly terrified. I don't know, because I've got to live here. my style, honestly, we take care of the little things, so the big things take care of themselves. I want to be aggressive when we're going forward, and I want to basically build a big old brick wall, kind of Jose Mourinho Park the Bus style, when we're out of possession. Break us down, and if you don't, and we get possession, we're coming right back at you.
So basically what you're saying is you got your eye cover in the back pocket, tie it up behind your head, and then get the cigarette and make sure your white shirt's got a target on the front and back.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I have to do this to you. I have to make you feel comfortable. How else am I going to have you give me some great answers for my questions? Why not? Obviously, you've seen your fair share of FA Cup matches in England, especially when Man United won those FA Cup titles in the past under Sir Alex Ferguson. Of course, the idea, hopefully, you will be able to make the playoffs this year. And if you do get to a certain level, you'll qualify for the U.S. Open Cup. How important is that, not just for yourself, but your fellow co-owners as well?
Huge. Obviously, we want to launch this club. It's an inaugural season. We want to launch it and do it right. We want to bring some pride to our community. We have I'll throw it out there, it's a different sport, but our local semi-pro hockey team, the Sioux City Musketeers, are very good. I think they won nationals like 2 years ago. They're in the playoffs right now, or at least the tournament right now. We want to do the same thing with soccer. Like we want to bring pride to, you know, as many young soccer players and aspiring soccer players as possible. So then in 10 years time, they've watched us this year, in 10 years time, they come to our tryouts and want to play for us and represent their community.
Absolutely. What I mean, like you've said, soccer has really grown in this country. The sport of football has really grown in this country. It's been amazing to see how much of an explosion that not only the 94 World Cup did for here, and of course the success at the 2002 World Cup in South Korea when the U.S. went all the way to the quarterfinals did back then. But, you know, what about all that talent that you said, you know, in Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota? How amazed have you been to see all these talented players, and what has really amazed you about these players that have done so well that you're ready to, you know, put them on a roster and put them out there on the pitch for 90 minutes or so?
Yeah, so the one thing I will say, and you know, maybe the community might grab their pitchforks with this, but the qualified Iowa boys and Nebraska boys and South Dakota boys, you know, they're big, strong athletes, and they're very good athletes, and they've got the foot skills, the next stage for them is it's the soccer IQ. And obviously, you know, they get to test themselves in the, at the club level maybe once or twice a year by going down to, you know, KC, St. Louis, maybe Dallas if they're lucky. What we're doing here is we're now allowing these guys to test themselves against some of the best college players in the country.
Absolutely. That's going to be amazing to watch. Now, I do have to talk about the conference you are in. You're in the North Conference. You're going to be taking on Dakota Fusion, Duluth FC, Joy St. Louis Park, Minnesota Blizzard FC, Minnesota Twin Stars FC, and the Sioux Falls Thunder. To me, it sounds like Sioux Falls will be, and the Dakota Fusion will be your derby matches. But when you're playing against these clubs, how big and important is it going to be for you to try and steal 3 points or at least a point from these visiting places?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure your listeners know Duluth are a top program from ownership to coaching staff. You know, they're a top program. We kind of drew, I'm not going to say short straw, but we drew the funny straw. Our inaugural game is away to Duluth on next Saturday. So, yay us. But, you know, if we can steal those points away from home, I am very confident that when teams come to what some of our fans have already started calling Fortress Sioux City, when people start coming here, they're going to have to earn the right to play on our field. And I'm liking it. The players are all bought in. We've just finished our first week of preseason, and we're actually wearing StatSport. We actually got a great deal with StatSport, so we've been able to utilize some sports science to, you know where our players are at and check their heat maps and all that kind of stuff on the field, so we know how much running they're doing and we can periodize. So if we're going to playoffs, we can basically periodize our training, so we're at our best during postseason.
Absolutely. This should be a lot of fun. What are the goals for this inaugural season for your club in the Siouxland United FC? I mean, obviously, the hope is to make the playoffs, but what's the realistic goals for this year?
That is the realistic goals, the playoffs. We have done a very good job. My coaching staff and I have done a very good job of recruiting. We have a fantastic backroom staff. We have a world-class, it's my wife, but I'm going to say it, athletic trainer, and she's also our human performance lady, basically. She's got the guys that's our partner at the YMCA here in town. She's got the guys doing all the injury prevention stuff. She's reading all the stats with the wearable tech and, you know, the ownership, they're ambitious. It's not just me. And, you know, we've bought some houses. We've made them really nice for the players to live in. And, you know, that investment, it needs to be paid back. And unfortunately, it always falls on the coach to do that. So here we are.
See, that's why he's the co-owner, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to do everything himself. He wants the coach, lets the wife be the sports science girl. She's the medical trainer, and she also makes a mean casserole, too. No, I'm just kidding around. I don't know about that. But, but you want to be Mr. Hands-On, don't you? You and the wife.
Yeah. I mean, we've worked together at the collegiate level for several years, and it's kind of yin and yang. You know, we bounce off each other really well, and you know, you can't even, when we're on the field and in front of players, you don't even know we're married. Like, it's just that we've just worked together that long. It's just, like I said, yin and yang.
Absolutely. And listen, happy wife, happy life. I know this, you know this, we're all copacetic.
Two of the most important words a man can ever learn. Yes, dear.
Exactly. Or else it's a rolling pin.
That's it. Or in my wife's case, being an athletic trainer, it's the foam roller.
Well, that's not so hard.
The new plastic ones are.
Oh, no. Never mind. Are they the ones with the little studs on the wheels?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you feel it. I'd rather have the rolling pin.
Okay. Yep. Me. Yep. That's why I tell my wife, just give me the rolling pin and it'll be five lumps. I don't care.
That's it.
That's it. Anyway, Robbie, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. And thank you for allowing me to make some give you a couple of yucks here and there. Good luck this year with Siouxland United FC. And all I can say is I hope you have a great season. Take care, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you. He is the co-owner and head coach of Siouxland United FC, Mr. Robbie Carroll, joining us tonight. As once again, these brand new clubs coming in to being a part of the National Premier Soccer League as we are getting ready for my next guest. Hopefully he'll be calling in soon. It will be the coach of Southern Indiana Guardians FC, Mr. Jeremiah Leroy, just waiting for him to give us a call and to see what's going to happen with the Southern Indiana Guardians. Now, if take a look to see where they are in the NPSL and where they're going to play, I don't think it will be too far. Yes, here they are. They were in the Great Lakes, or they are going to be in the Great Lakes, and all you can say is this. All you can say is that it should be a fun one, should be exciting, and we will see what they will. Oh, excuse me. We will see what they will do here moving forward, and talk to him as Mr. Jeremiah Leroy. And they are located, once again, the Great Lakes Conference, so they will be along with Akron City FC, Cleveland SC, Erie Commodores FC, Flower City Union, Michigan Rangers FC, Niagara 1812, Southern Indiana Guardians will be along in this Great Lakes Conference, as well as Steel City FC. So hopefully we hope to have Mr. Jeremiah Leroy on with us to talk about the club and hopefully, you know, talk more about what's going on over in Southern Indiana. Of course, we all know with Indy 11 and the USL Championship what they have meant for the city of Indianapolis and what's been going on. So we'll just have to wait and see what is going on. But once again, we're just waiting for Mr. Jeremiah Leroy, coach of Southern Indiana Guardians. And let's just go ahead and take a look at some of these clubs in the different conferences, starting with the Gateway Conference. It will be Club Atletico St. Louis, Des Moines United FC, Etar Belleville FC, FC Milwaukee Torrent, Geo's Lions SC Chicago, Kansas City Soul, Sunflower State FC, and Wisconsin Conquerors FC. And, of course, that will be our last guest for tonight, and hopefully we will have them on as well. So we're just waiting for Mr. Leroy to join us. And that's in the Gateway Conference, those clubs. In the Golden Gate Conference, California Odyssey SC, El Farolito once again, Napa Valley 1839, Oakland SC, the Oakland Stompers, Sacramento Gold FC, and San Ramon FC. We've already talked about the Great Lake Conference. In the Gulf Coast Sunshine Conference, two conferences joining as one, Columbus United FC, Global Soccer Pathways, Jacksonville Armada FC Under-23s, Miami Dutch Lions, once again the Dutch Lion Pipeline coming together and spreading themselves around, Naples United FC, the New Orleans Jesters, Pensacola FC, Tallahassee SC. In the Heartland Conference, it's Arkansas Wolves FC, Demise NPSL. We also have OKC 1889 FC, Rain FK, and Tulsa Athletic in the Heartland Conference. In the Keystone East Conference, Atlantic City FC, FC Monmouth, FC Motown, Jackson Lions SC, the Philadelphia Union's developmental squad, and Westchester Predators. And then, of course, in the Keystone West Conference, we got the Electric City Shock SC, First State FC, Hershey FC, Pennsylvania Classics, Philadelphia Ukrainian Nationals, Westchester United, Lone Star Conference, all those Texas teams, Austin United FC, CF 10 Houston FC. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have on our guest, Mr. Jeremiah Leroy, the coach of the Southern Indiana Guardians. Mr. Leroy, thank you very much, and how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me tonight. So, Southern Indiana Guardians, where is the club located in the state of Indiana, and are you very close to Indianapolis?
We're not close to Indianapolis. We're located just across the river from Louisville, Kentucky. We compete in a small city called Floyd Knobs. The bigger cities that are basically connected to Floyd Knobs would be like New Albany, Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Clarksville, Indiana.
Great. Fantastic. And who will be who is the ownership group of this club, and why do they want to be in the NPSL?
The ownership group is a diverse group of people, and they wanted to be in the NPSL to basically provide a professional pathway for local youth soccer players to try and progress to the next level.
Fantastic to hear. And where will you be playing your games at home?
We'll play at Floyd Central High School.
Very cool. Very nice. So, you know, and you'll be the coach for the club, or you will be under someone else?
No, I'm the coach.
You're the one. All right, great. So what type of – if I'm not asking for the game plan or anything, but what type of style do you like to there for that club? You like to be press, counter, defend? What would you like to do for these – what do you want from these players to go out there and perform for you?
We're looking for a high-intensity I don't know. I want to say press, but it's more of a Liverpool type of style of playing. So at moments there'll be a press. At other moments we'll drop in and play more defensive. It kind of depends on the opponent, you know, what we can get away with.
That's pretty cool to hear. For those of us, obviously, we know soccer is big in Indiana, obviously, and we all know that some good players represent the city of Indianapolis. But from your perspective, from the area you'll be playing your home games in, what amazes you about the state of Indiana and all of these great talented players that you'll be provided for to get this club going in the 2024 season?
Well, probably one of the most remarkable things that our team has going for us is all of our players are actually from an area that comprises what's called Greater Louisville, which Greater Louisville is Louisville, Kentucky, and then right across the Ohio River into those cities I previously mentioned. All of our players live in that area except one currently. So we have an extremely rich soccer community and a lot of really high quality kids that have come out of some really fantastic youth clubs locally. We have kids from Louisville City's Academy. We have kids coming from Javanon. I don't know if you guys have heard of Javanon. It's a fantastic academy team linked up with like FC Cincinnati. And they have MLS Next. And we have Southern Indiana United, which is our partner youth club here in Southern Indiana. Some great things happening there locally. And so it's basically a very local, homegrown thing.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear. That is wonderful, because that's the whole thing, isn't it? We want to make sure that the local kids, the local players, have a local club that they can call their own and be a part of something special. Now, obviously, this is your first year in the NPSL. What are the goals for the club this year?
The glove, the goals are to win the national title and get to the U.S. Open Cup. But we'll see how that goes. We like to start with high goals, shoot for the stars, and if you land in the moon, that's okay.
No, absolutely fantastic. Very, very happy to hear that because it is a big goal, isn't it? Being a part of that Open Cup tournament that's hopefully for you guys, you'll be able to reach a certain level if you do qualify for the playoffs and get to that quarterfinal level that you can enter into the Open Cup and hopefully have that that great opportunity to be over there. And hopefully it'll be big for you guys and you'll be able to experience what all of us want you to experience, a big moment to play against some of these professional sides as well as your fellow amateurs in the Open Cup for next year, and it should be a lot of fun. And if I can ask you this, obviously with your ownership group, you know, you're playing in a high school currently, but is there going to be a goal somewhere down the line? Obviously not the immediate future, but the hope to bring and create a soccer-specific stadium.
We are hopeful that that is in the future, and we're looking into possibilities and options. Obviously, the NPSL has some wonderful things going on behind the scenes that might provide additional opportunities for growth that we're excited about. And if everything goes well and the community support is there, then we definitely would look to put in a soccer complex down here for the Guardians.
That's absolutely fantastic, and hopefully that will be somewhere down the road for you guys and moving on forward. And, you know, that would be the greatest thing ever, in my opinion, obviously. So we'll see what happens there. Now, let's talk about let's talk about your conference, where you will be playing in. And once again, you will be in the Great Lakes Conference against Akron City, Cleveland SC, Erie Commodores, Flower City Union out of Rochester, New York, Michigan Rangers, Niagara 1812, and Steel City FC. This is probably one of the tougher, they're all tough, but this is one of the better conferences in the National Premier Soccer League with all these great clubs coming from Ohio, from New York, Western New York, of course, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. Is this the challenge you're ready for?
We'd like to hope so, but until you get in there and start playing, you don't know for certain. But it's an exciting opportunity. Obviously, like you say, some really rich soccer competition in our conference. Some big drives for us. We could have named ourselves the Road Warriors because they're going to have quite a lot of travel. but we're very optimistic. We've got some really high quality guys on the team. The trainings are going really well, and we're excited to see where we land. And we're hopeful.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with your guys over there and what's going to happen this year. So everyone's ready to go. You're ready to go. Are the fans ready to go? What have you heard from the locals?
The local fans, they seem to be excited about the new team coming in. It's always interesting because, we have a lot of the youth programs we've partnered with and stuff. There's so much club soccer going on at this time of year, here at the end of May, they have all the President's Cup and State Cup and Challenge Cup and everything. So there's a lot of conflict in people's schedules, but they're all excited and saying they're looking forward to coming out to especially the NPSL games in the summer where they have a little bit more free time. I know a lot of the youth kids are excited at the opportunity of potentially being able to grow up and enter the player pool for the Guardians and maybe one day step on the field as a Guardian. So we think it's going to be a really exciting and hopefully beneficial time for the youth in the community.
Absolutely. Well, Jeremiah, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck this year in the 2024 season of the National Premier Soccer League. I hope you do well, and hope to have you back on the show whenever you can.
Yep. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Once again, Jeremiah Leroy, the head coach of the Southern Indiana Guardians, joining me tonight. And my last guest, but certainly not least, he is the president of the Wisconsin Conquerors FC, Mr. Alexander Edo. Alex, thank you very much for joining me tonight, and are you ready to conquer?
Thank you so much for having me. We have been, you know, working hard, and yes, we, it's in our DNA, to take a chance and overcome, and that's what we're about. So, yes, we are.
Absolutely fantastic to hear. So for those of us, where is the club going to be playing, and what part of the state of Wisconsin will you be located?
So we are about 2 hours north of Madison, so in a city called Marshfield, Wisconsin. And we're kind of, we're central to five major cities that are kind of, you know, all connected. People live in one city and work in another, or they work in one and live in another. So Marshfield, kind of central Wisconsin, then you have Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, and Eau Claire, kind of surrounding Marshfield. So that's our market, and these are the fans that we are hoping to excite and draw behind us and everything.
Absolutely. That's going to be exciting. You know, if I can ask you this, we all know about Forward Madison in the USL League One. Was it because of them that you and wanted to get this club going, or this has been in the pipe, in the works for a long time?
So this has been a, you know, kind of a personal vision of mine, and I found myself in Marshfield, Wisconsin, just through my career, you know. I'm going through pharmacy school, getting a job, and then I'm here, and it looks, you know, at first glance like you're in the middle of nowhere. And then I just started realizing that, man, you know, if you really want to place that next level, you got to drive, like you said, down to Ford Madison. It's about 2.5 hours away. Or you got to go down to Milwaukee, or else you go up north, you know, go to Minnesota. It is another 2.5, almost 3 hours away. So there's nothing really central here. So we saw the opportunity, and we thought, you know, this is a great time to bring, you know, bring birth to that vision of kind of, you know, raising up, you know, young men who want to go to the next level, but giving them a bit more in terms of substance and character, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. That sounds great to hear, and I'm very happy to hear that this has been a personal goal for you and everyone to get this club going and rolling. Where will you be playing your home games this year in the 2024 season?
So all our home games will be at the Kenneth Ardice and Heaton Community Stadium. It is based at the Marshall High School, and you know, it's newly built. It's a great facility. The community is excited that we're bringing the NPSL to the stadium, to the area in general. And, we're getting ready to go.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It should be a lot of fun. Now, obviously, you're the president of the club. Who are the owners of the club that wants to be a part of this situation?
So, you know, my wife and I, we started the club, and we are the owners, and we brought on some board of directors that, you know, we knew personally, people that we could, who have experience in the field, in the soccer field. Was our vice president. He owned a soccer club in Connecticut, you know, several years back, until he moved to Tennessee, and working as a pastor, you know, doing more ministry work. Brian, for example, you know, English Premier League legend, scored the first goal in the Premier League in 92. Against Manchester United, he was playing with Sheffield United. He's gone to Benfica. He represented the England national team. You know, obviously he's retired now, but he, you know, he has a load of experience in terms of, you know, give advice how we can get our players to the next level. So, you know, he's been a part of our advisory board as well. And, you know, local people like Saju Patel, you know, he's been here. He'd worked with MISA, which is a youth organization that we've partnered with. They have about 300 or 400 kids, Marshfield Youth Soccer Association. So we're trying to work with them too to bring them to a new level. Eddie Bosom, you know, pastor friend of mine, kind of helping with spiritual and character development of the players. And then Serene, who's the treasurer for the club. So we you know, been working, and we have a number of volunteers as well who devote their time, Jason Jonas and Arango. Got assistant coaches as well who've been a part. So, you know, we're grateful to everyone who's been helping.
That's fantastic to hear. What's it like to work with a Premier League legend and an England national team legend?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic because, you know, he just brings a whole new dynamic to the game because obviously he's played at the highest level and he's showing us, you know, how you got to just humble yourself, you know, from the get-go, work hard, be dedicated to your craft, you know, have a goal, and then, you know, this now can just propel you because once you prepare yourself, when no one's watching, somehow, you know, somehow when you least expect it, the opportunity comes. And so you got to be faithful to that, you know, just in that preparation phase. He's going to be coming in August along with a friend of his, another ex-Premier League player, Andrew Kiyomwa, and they're going to lead a soccer camp and, you know, just kind of reach out, bring the young kids out to the camp and show them an elite experience, you know, to play, or what it means to all.
That's amazing.
He brings that dynamic, so we're excited about that.
That is really, really amazing to see that. And I think we are lucky in this country to have somebody like those two who have played in the Premier League, and of course, you know, part of England's national team to help our players, especially your players over in Wisconsin, to, you know, give them the knowledge and the belief that, you know, they can do this. And it's just fantastic to see. You know, if I can ask you this, what impresses you of the talented players that come from that comes from the state of Wisconsin that you can bring them over and plug them into the club?
You know, to be honest with you, we had our tryout in February, and you know, we weren't quite sure what to expect. And then we had about, you know, 43 young men. We were blown away by the level of talent and just, you know, the commitment. And then even coming into practice, you know, see that they love this game. The game is growing in the country, and the players, they have the potential. They have that ability to be the next level. We're really blown away. Stand up. You know, so we're.
Uh-oh. We might be losing him.
Yeah. Are we there?
Oh, I'm there. Are you there? Good. You're there. You are.
Yes.
Go ahead, please. Please continue.
Yeah. So, you know, so we were blown away by the level of talent, and we know that there are more players in central Wisconsin with disability, and we want to get them out, and we want to help them go to that next level.
Absolutely. That's fantastic to hear, and I cannot wait to see what's going to happen. Obviously, the hope is if you do make the playoffs this year, if you get to a certain level in the playoff run, that you could be qualified for the next year's Open Cup tournament. Is that a big goal for yourselves and for the club?
That is a massive goal. That's, in fact, one of our main goals, and we're working towards that. You know, it's our first year, so we're coming in and we're very humble, you know. Although we set these, that the competition is stiff, you know, it's we have clubs that, you know, for many years, and so we come humbly, but really that's the goal, and that's what we're working towards.
That's absolutely fantastic. I'm very happy to hear that, and it's going to be excellent to see what's going to happen with this club and what you're going to do. Now let's talk about your opponents, and, you know, once again, in the MPSL, all conferences are very, very difficult, but you're going to be taking on the club Atletico St. Louis, also Des Moines United, Etar Belleville, FC Milwaukee Torrent, Geo's Lions SC Chicago, Kansas City Soul, and Sunflower State FC. This is a very, very difficult conference. What say you when your Wisconsin Conquerors is going to try and conquer the Gateway Conference?
So a few of the names of the clubs that you mentioned, because of the distance, they grouped us into like, you know, part A and part B kind of thing. So we Kansas City Soul on the 18th, they come home to the stadium, and then we'll be on the road to Sunflowers and Des Moines, kind of two games back to back, and then we'll have Sunflower at home, and then Geo and the Derby. We are looking forward to very excited to So yeah, we think we have been working hard. We have great players as well, and we believe it's going to be good competition for the fans and, you know, for the whole region.
Absolutely, that's great to hear, Alexander. Good luck to you and your club for the 2024 MPSL soccer season. I hope you have a very good evening. Hope to have you back on the show again. You take care, and once again, good luck this year.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank once you. Again, that's Mr. Alexander Edo, the president of the Wisconsin Conquerors. It should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. Cannot wait to have these guys go out there and play in the MPSL. I want to say apologize for last night on Thursday, May the 9th, for the technical difficulties again from Blog Talk Radio. You're not the only ones that are upset. I'm upset, very, very angry, and hopefully they will be fixing these issues as quickly as possible and not repeat them again. Because I don't want to lose a show. I need these shows. You need these shows. And we all need them. So hopefully next week we will have my guests again for the supposed to be the first of two MPSL soccer shows. But this became the now number one. And we'll have those guests back for last night. We'll be back for next Thursday. This coming Thursday, I should say now. On Thursday, May the 16th. So I want to thank my guests tonight. I want to thank Mr. Faton Bauta of New Jersey United FAC. I want to thank Carmine Provenzano and Lucio Ianero of Niagara 1812. I want to thank Jonathan Rink from Hickory FC. I want to thank Mr. Joseph Lipoff from Port City FC, Mr. Robbie Carroll of Siouxland United FC, Jeremiah Leroy from Southern Indiana Conquerors, and Alexander Edo of Wisconsin Conquerors FC. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for joining me tonight here on the MPSL Soccer Show on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. As always, please, enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. Have a good night, everybody.